Grace and peace to you this morning from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The story is told of a young soldier and his commanding officer that boarded a train together. There were only two available seats in their car. That's where they sat. And they sat right across from an attractive young woman who was traveling with her grandmother. The four of them engaged in friendly conversation. And it was evident that the soldier and the young lady were sort of fond of one another. Suddenly, the train pulled into a long tunnel. And the car became pitch black. And seconds later, two sounds were heard. There was the smack of a kiss. And shortly after, there was the whack of a slap across the face. The grandmother thought, "I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter. But I am glad she gave him a slap for being so bold." And the commanding officer thought, "I don't blame the boy for kissing the girl. But if she was offended, she should have been more careful. She slapped me instead of him." And the young girl sat there and thought, "I'm glad he kissed me. I wish my grandmother had not slapped him for doing it." Finally, the train pulled out of the tunnel and into the sunlight. The soldier had a hard time keeping a smile off of his face. He had certainly taken advantage of the opportunity. He had kissed the beautiful woman. And he also managed to slap his commanding officer across the face. Now, I am not recommending this morning that you steal a kiss or slap someone across the face. But people in the church can learn some things from people of the world. The young soldier knew how to seize the day. In other words, to take advantage of an opportunity that he had. And we, the followers of Jesus Christ, can learn something from this, especially in one area. We should take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way to seize the day. Just as those soldiers had a mission, we have a mission also. We are to share in some way the good news about Jesus Christ. And like the soldier, we often need to be bold and to push ourselves a little outside of our comfort zone in order to do this. That's step number one. But we may have another problem if we're going to be a successful witness, besides being bold enough. And that's the main thrust of our message today. The other problem may be us. Studies and polls show that in many cases, the life of a Christian is not much different from the lives of those who are not Christians. And much of the world is not interested in a Christianity and what it offers because they see far too many people who call themselves Christians who seem to be living their lives just like everyone else. And Paul addressed this problem in his words to the Christians at Ephesus. He said, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And actually, right back at the beginning of chapter 5 in the book of Ephesians, Paul summed up what is necessary and what is expected of children of God. He says, quote, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Maybe one other story shared by a young father will help you realize the importance of our theme today. This is what happened. The young father wrote, "When I was a small boy, I was consistently late for dinner. And on one particular day, my parents sternly warned me that I'd better be on time that night. Yet I forgot, and I wound up there later than ever. My parents, of course, were already seated at the table, just about to begin eating. Quickly, I sat at my place, and I then noticed what had been set before me. There was a slice of bread and a glass of water. There was silence all around as I sat there looking at my plate. And then I saw my father's hand reach slowly over, pick up my plate, and set it before himself. He then set his own plate full of food in front of me, smiling at me as he made the exchange. All my life, I have known what God is like, but what my father did that night." We are to model our lives as much as is possible after the life of Jesus. We are to emulate the one who we call Savior and Lord with our own lives. We give a powerful testimony to others, not only by what we say, but by how we pattern our life after the life of Jesus. What kind of example did Jesus give us to imitate? Well, he gave us a lot of examples. I'm going to choose three of the toughest. Jesus loved the unlovable. Here is words from Luke 27. He said, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." Jesus forgave the unforgivable. He hung on the cross, paying for our sins, and said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Jesus reached out to the untouchable. He said to those who brought a woman caught in adultery and brought her to him because she was, according to the law, supposed to be stoned to death. And Jesus said to them, "Let those of you who are without sin cast the first stone." At the same time as following the examples of Jesus, we are warned not to be caught up in the world of darkness ourselves. We who know Christ are called children of light. in our participation in works of darkness, referred to in Ephesians today, things such as sexual immorality, greed, drunkenness, filthy talk, and other things, is dangerous for us and a terrible example to a world that is watching our behavior. The lives of many Christians have been ruined by such things, including even members of the clergy. The thing is, it takes more than just good intentions to be a good Christian. And that's what many of the people that are sitting home week after week after week and never going to church are missing. So Paul tries to help the Ephesians. He encourages them to fill their lives with the right things rather than unholy practices. He realizes that the strength that we need to practice our Christianity and live the Christian life comes from the Lord. So he says, you heard it, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I'm sure this is not an exclusive list. There are other spiritual disciplines or practices in the Holy Scriptures that can help us to be the children of light that we are called to be. Martin Luther found real peace and joy when he came across the key teaching in the book of Romans that by grace of God we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But one thing continued to bother him through most of his life, and there's no getting away from it. Even the strongest Christian retains his sinful human nature. Even the Apostle Paul himself said, "For I do not the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." If Martin Luther and the Apostle Paul needed spiritual maintenance, then we need spiritual maintenance also. God knows our situation. And in the Holy Scriptures, He has revealed at least 7 key spiritual disciplines by which we open ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit, that He might do the spiritual maintenance necessary for our sanctification. I'm going to say these slowly, and I'd like you, as the Bible tells us to examine yourselves. I'm going to try and remember to put them on our bulletin cover next week. It'd be good every so often for us to check the list and make sure we're not slipping. They are the 7 disciplines. 1. Regular worship of the Lord. 2. Pray often. 3. Confess our sins regularly. 4. Participation in the Holy Supper. 5. The study of God's Word. 6. Sacrificial offerings, such as our time, or our money. And 7, be a witness to others about Jesus. And if you follow these spiritual disciplines, expect to be what Paul asks you to be filled with the Spirit. and you will be blessed. Amen.